Bibles, open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'll share some thoughts with us this morning on the theme of Christ, the giver of sight. Christ, the giver of sight. Let me rephrase it another way. How do you see Jesus? In relationship to spiritual understanding. Or as Ephesians 5:17 says, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but we have a spiritual obligation to understand." 1 John 5:13, to know. In order to be transformed, Romans 12:2, to what is the will of the Lord. That is in my life and your life. But as we travel through life, the question that we see, we need to ask this morning, how do we see Jesus? Let's open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 14. And this is the first point that I want us to see this morning when we examine ourselves or when we ask that question, how do we see Jesus? You know, John in 1 John 2:15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. The love of the world is not of is not of the Father." Well, in John 14, sometime when we see home, we see home as a brick home, or we see home as a split level home, or whatever you see home. But the question that we need to ask, well, where is your home? How do you see home in relationship to spirituality? Well, in John 14, the first three verses, this is what we need to look at. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go," and this is what I want you to see, if you got your Bibles, write 1 John 5:13, because see, as we see Jesus, we should know that Jesus, Luke 19:10, came into this world to seek and save that which was lost. Acts 20:28 said that the blood that Jesus shed, it purchased the church, that we may know. And the way you know, in relationship to verse number 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Not this earthly home, not your house, but this mansion that Jesus has built for us because of the goodness and the grace of God. I see another point of seeing Jesus. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Because you can see him in two ways. You can see him in a way of joy, happiness, or you can see him in the way of being lost. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. How do you see Jesus in relationship to we who are saved and we know? We let not our heart be troubled. We know that we have a home. that's not prepared with hands. We have a home prepared by God, a relationship, because we know the way, and the way leads to truth that leads to eternal life. In Luke 16, I want to begin reading the story in about verse number 19. I want to read the whole story, but as I read the story, this is what I want you to see. If you save, we got joy. Amen. If we've been sanctified, that if we've been set apart from darkness to light, that has been transformed by the renewing of our mind, we who are here, we're going to say amen. But you, as I read this story, if you have not been added to the body of Christ, Acts 2:47, you see the ugliness of sin and the ugliness of being lost, just like this man in this story, in the rich man. Look what it says beginning in verse number 19. Luke 16, I hope you're there, verse 19. Look what it says here. It says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, but he fasted sumptuous every day. Now, by that verse, if you got your Bible, I want you to write a word there, because that word is going to symbolize the world. Because you can be in the world and have things of the world, but not have the joy or the satisfaction of knowing that all is well with your soul. You remember Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And here was a rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuous every day. And then verse 20 says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of souls, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs was fed from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. But look at verse 22. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And I want you to write Hebrews 9:27. And the reason why I want you to write that there, because we didn't come here to stay, my friends. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to men once to die, and after that cometh the judgment day. Amen. That this man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died. And write it again, Hebrews 9:27. And the reason why I want you to write it there, because there's a decision that we have to make. And that decision is, whether you're going to be saved or whether you're going to be lost, because brethren, one appointment that we all will keep is that we all going to die. But how do you see Jesus? But look at verse 22. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels and to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus into his bosom. Now, I'm going to slow it down, because I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to write some descriptive words on what happened to this man when he died. Look what it says here. It says, in hell, and underline that word hell, he did what? Lifted up his eyes. And the next word said that he was in torment. And he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And look at verse number 24. Here's another word I want you to see. And he cried. See, not only did he die, but he lifted up his eyes in torment. And he cried. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. Now, I want you to see it because if you don't see Jesus the right way, this could be you. Because we're all going to die. Amen. And when we die, God is no respecter of person. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray to God that this situation don't fit you. That is, when he died, or when you die, or when I die, I hope and pray we don't lift up our eyes in torment and cry and pray a prayer that was too late to say, Father, let Lazarus dip his finger and cool my tongue, for I am in torment. Do you see the picture that I'm trying to paint? But you don't have to see this picture because Jesus came down here, died on the cross, shed blood, establish the church of Christ that we all may be saved, and if we're saved, that's enough for the church to say amen in relationship to being thankful. But let's continue to read, because in verse 25 the Bible says, but Abraham responded, he said, son, remember. And I want you to underline that word remember, because this sermon that I'm preaching, you may remember one day in hell. Amen. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things. And what were the good things? Go back to verse 19. Clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuous every day. And if you're there, go back to verse 25 and tie verse 19 in. Because sometimes we have a tendency to forget. Amen. Oh, we want to remember the thing that we want to remember, and the thing that we don't want to remember, we're not going to remember. But I guarantee you, when Abraham told him to remember, he remembered. He said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now, look what he says here. He is comforted, but thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. And what he's simply saying here, when you're dead, you're done. Amen. And where you are, I can't come. And where I am, I don't want to go. Amen. And the reason why, because this morning, when we look at seeing Jesus, there is that spiritual understanding that I learned from this passage here. Number one, I don't have to be in torment. I don't have to be in flames. I don't need no water to dip my tongue, because I'm in torment. I don't have to cry. I don't have to pray a foolish prayer, because number one, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can be saved today. We can have spiritual understanding today. We can know today, and we can be transformed today because of the joy. And that's the key word, the joy of being a child of God. Go with me to the book of James. I want to share one scripture with you right quick. I know we're running with time, but I want you to see this here. Because a lot of us play with our life, and none of us know where death is. We play with our life. We act like we're going to live forever, but we're not. And then the second point is that when God made us, he made us for a purpose. That is, that he made us, James 1:26, in the image of God. God didn't make no junk. We may have became junk, but through Jesus dying on the cross, we can have life, and we can have it more abundantly. So when you go to James chapter 1, I want you to see. See, he says, my brethren, right, the 21 or 27, amen, right, 27. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? Do I have to refresh the course? 27, amen. 4:1, 21:1, amen. Four Gospels, one what? Acts, 1:21, one payday. To believe, to get in the church of Christ, to be saved, Acts 2:47, to live, 21, Romans to Jude, the book of Revelation, beat our faith unto death in order to receive a crown of life. That's spiritual understanding. If you don't see that, brother, you're going to be in Luke 16. You're going to wake up in hell and cry, Father, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Because, see, you can't have spiritual understanding in order to know what is the will of the Lord. Amen. So you say, I'm redundant. You say, Brother Lazarus, you've always been redundant. Yes, I've been redundant. Because what good is the book when you don't know what the book is? How can the book help you if you don't know how to write or divide the book? Amen. See, how are you going to have spiritual understanding to see? Jesus opened the blinds, the eyes of the blind to see. See, you got to see spiritual understanding. Amen. See, that's the reason why I say the 4:1, the 21:1. See, he says, my brethren, you know, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church of Christ. Amen. Amen. Because we believe what he said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Am I right? We got saved in the book of Acts. Am I right? So you can see my brethren. See, he's talking to the church. Amen. He says, count it all joy. See, that's the point that I want to make. I'm not going to talk about death in the grave. I'm talking about you who are sin. You are dead to sin. Amen. Because sin bringing forth death. Am I right? When you're not in Christ Jesus, you are spiritually what? Dead. Am I right? Go with me to Genesis. I want to go to the book of Genesis. Go with me to Genesis right quick. Give me a scripture, Brother Frazier. And I want to make a point from the beginning of time to the book of Genesis, which means beginning, amen. To the book of Exodus, that means departure, amen. To the book of Leviticus, that is a call out, amen. To a numbering, that is, to the book of Deuteronomy, to repeat the law. That's the first five books we don't read. Is that right, John? Am I right? That's the Pentateuch, am I right? That's Deuteronomy, am I right? See, you got to know that to get spiritual understanding, am I right? See? Y'all with me? See, go back to Genesis chapter 2, all right? I think about verse 15, brother, when he gave the command of this God you may freely eat. Read what it says. If you got your Bible, I want you to see what he told Adam and Eve, because see, a lot of times you can't have joy because you are dead. It don't make sense to be a Christian and be dead, amen, because you can't see Jesus. Because what sin is, God is what? You understand what I'm saying? See, read what it said, brother. You there? Come on, help me out now. Read.
Yeah.
Read, brother.
Then the Lord God took the man.
Yes.
And put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord commanded.
Now stop right there. The Lord did what?
Commanded.
See, when the Lord God command, you better listen. Amen.
Right.
So when the Lord God speak to you, you better listen. Amen. So like we read in Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31, that is God telling us what happened to two people. One was a rich man, one was Lazarus. Am I right? See, Romans 15, 4 says, whatsoever things are in the foretell, written by what learning, that we should learn that man died, didn't he? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment, am I right? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in what? Torment. See, you should learn that this morning, amen? Because that's a warning that you don't want to go there, amen? See, when the Lord God commanded, you don't have a choice in the matter. You can't add to nor take away. Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 13:6, and Revelation 22:18-19. You can't add to God's word. When God commanded, you can't supersede what God's already said.
Right.
Folks, talking about we living in 2013, we need to update the Bible. How you going to update something that's perfect? James 1:25 says the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Yeah. This book I'm holding don't need no help. Amen. This is perfection. Amen. That we may have joy. Amen. Yeah. Because I don't want to be dead, amen. Am I right? Y'all understand that? See, when the Lord God commanded, what did he say?
He said, the Lord God commanded
yes.
the man.
Saying, yes, sir.
Every tree of the garden you may freely eat.
Every tree, not no apple tree.
Come on, brother.
Of the garden you may freely eat. See, God's a loving God, amen. God didn't just limit them to a certain part, didn't he? He's of the garden, every tree of the garden, of the garden you may free to eat, but
of the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil,
yes,
you shall not eat.
Yes.
For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
See, in the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. That is a spiritual death that happened when we sin and don't repent of that sin. We are spiritually dead.
Amen.
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 And when you are spiritually dead, you can't count it all joy.
Right.
See, now let's go to the New Testament and let's see. And by that, write Romans chapter 8. Just write Romans chapter 8 and beginning in verse number 1. Because, see, a lot of us live every day. A lot of us exist every day. But we ain't no good to nobody because we are dead. Amen.
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 Yes,
so when you go to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, he says here, there is therefore now, I'm going to wait, so we can get some spiritual understanding, so we can get some knowledge,
amen,
so we can know 1 John 5:13, so we can be transformed, amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Underline that word free from the law of sin and death. See, sin brings death to us as Jesus commanded in the Garden of Eden, of this garden you may free to eat. But of the tree of good and evil, you shall not eat thereof. The day you eat thereof, you will surely what? Die. That is, when you go back to James again, when you go back to what James says here, see, in James, you can't count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation.
Right.
You can't be blessed. You can't endure temptation.
Right.
Because when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised.
Right.
And I like that.
Yes,
amen. Let me tell you something, brother.
Yes,
see, we in life. And you got the Bible. Am I right? You got 66 books. Am I right?
Yes.
And I want you to see it.
Yes.
You got 39 in the old. Am I right?
Right.
Am I right?
Yes,
you got the 5, the 12, the 5, the 17. Am I right?
Yes,
but as we read in James 5, in verse 10, he said, what is written is based on prophets through the authority of our Lord in Jesus Christ. Amen. That is, that was written in the old gives us blessings in the new. Amen.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes.
But if you don't know nothing about the old, or you can't write or divide the old, if you can't see the old, have spiritual understanding, the old is no avail to you. You with me? See, if you don't understand the book of Genesis, beginning, the Exodus, bondage, Leviticus, that is, they were called out of to be numbered for the promised land, to repeat it again on the Deuteros of the law. If you understand the first 5, you don't need to go to the next 12. Am I right? Because see, if you don't understand how he repeated to the whole congregation the consequences of obedience versus disobedience, to be numbered among the saved or to be separated from the clean and the unclean, brother, you're not going to be able to appreciate the blessing we get for being Christians. Amen.
Right.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Y'all with me? So when you hear me redundantly saying 5, 12, 5, 17, those are not lottery numbers. Y'all may say, I'm going to use these next week when I go to the line. Y'all with me? You don't use those numbers. Those are numbers that gives us spiritual understanding to open our eyes to see the beauty that we have. Because, brother, we don't want to be like that rich man, lift up our eyes in hell, in torment, and cry, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment. Not only do we not want to do that, but we want to straighten out before we get there. Amen. That is to enjoy this life as a child of God. Am I right? To be patient. To wait on the Lord. First thing we find ourselves in, to be what? Content. Am I right? Because of who we are when we call ourselves what? Children of God. Amen. See, that's how we need to see Jesus. If you can't see Jesus that way, brother, you see him the wrong way. See, in relationship. But you got to be able to have spiritual understanding. And that understanding comes by understanding what is the world will of God. Let's go to Hebrews right quick. Show a couple more things and we'll stop. Hebrews 11. Because see, the promises of God. 13. But I want to begin in verse 1. And walk you down to verse 13. Amen. Because the immutability of God is that God can't lie. I'm funny. Sometimes I'm moody. Sometimes I'm in different spirits. And the reason why I'm that way, because I'm human. But when you go to Hebrews 11, 1, that word faith is doctrine. It's teaching. It's the book. Amen. See, it's those 66 books. That's what faith is. Faith is substance. It's substance. It got to be something there. Amen. I made sweet potato pies the other day. And I told Doris, I said, Doris, come on, I got to make my pies. Doris said, well, what do you need? You know, you made all these sweet potato pies. I'm tired of you making these pies. I said, Doris, don't get my stuff. She started bringing the stuff to the table, the sugar, she bought me my sweet potatoes. I already peeled myself and got them all ready, Alicia. And she brought my four eggs. She brought my vanilla. She brought my cinnamon. She brought my nutmeg. She brought everything that I needed to the table, the substance, to make those pies. Right. And I'm going to give you a secret. When the pies got in the oven, I said, Doris, I said, you didn't bring me no butter. Amen. And she looked at me and she says, well, but I had enough sustenance, Terry, to fool y'all who ate it. You understand? Well, you can't do that with the word of God. See, when we come to worship on the first day of the week, we can't do four, we got to do five. Am I right? In order to be able to worship in spirit and in truth. See, you got to do everything by the perfect law of liberty. And that's the reason why he said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now watch it. I'm going to walk you through this here. He begins to tell you how faith works. Look at verse 4. He says, by faith, I'm going to slow it down because I want you to see it. Abel, he did something. See, faith gonna motivate your works. Right. See, when you got good faith, that faith through substance gonna make you do something right, but that right gonna be guided by the word of God. Did you hear what I just said? When you see faith the right way, see, when you start out right, you're gonna end up right. That's the reason why it said by faith, Abel, he did something. What did he do? He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Look at verse 5. He said, by faith, Enoch, what happened? Something happened. He was translated. You see that? Then verse 6, he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarding him that diligently seek him. Now, we at Genesis chapter 6. Am I right? What did Noah do? Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, and underline that word, he moved. Y'all with me? See, Enoch was translated. Abel offered. Am I right? Drop down to verse 8. Here's another example. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should have to receive for inheritance, look what he did. He obeyed and he went out. See, when you got good substance, when you start all right with the 66, you're going to end up right. Am I right? Am I right? See, one, what did he do? One, he did what? He offered. One was translated. One moved with fear. See, Abraham, when he was called, y'all with me? See, he went out. By faith, he sojourned. Look at them. Sarah herself received strength. See, and drop all the way down to verse 13. Y'all with me? He said, these all died. In faith. I like that word, in faith. You know what that means? They died in the 66 books. Yes, sir. Amen. Am I right? Not having received the promises. Now I'm going to start right there because that's saying something. And I got about 4 minutes to explain it to you. Y'all with me? Has the devil cut some of y'all off? Because some of y'all, I've been seeing you looking at your clock. But look at what he said. He said, these all died in faith, not receiving the promise. Y'all know what that means? See, the 66 books of the Bible, the 39 of the old, of Genesis 3:15, the promise was made that through the seed of a woman, Jesus was going to come down here to die on the cross. Now, that was going to be enmity between the woman's seed and God's seed. And that's Genesis 3:15. Now, the promise was made. It's in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, amen. That through the seed of Jesus, that Jesus would come down here and die on the cross and establish the church, which would be called the Church of Christ, that we all can be saved. Amen. If y'all don't believe me, go to Galatians 4:4 right quick. I want to read it to you because, see, those are promises that God cannot lie. Amen. Am I right? Now, they all died by faith. They died in the faith. Am I right? But they didn't get in the promises because they never was in the Church of Christ. Amen. Am I right? Y'all with me? And y'all thinking it ain't important to understand the 5, the 12, the 5, the 17, the 4, the 1, 21, and the 1. It is important because if you don't understand that, you ain't going to get the promise. Amen. You're going to miss it. Am I right? Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. I want to read something to you in Galatians 4 and we'll come back there and wrap it up, okay? Galatians 4 and 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. All right. See, and this is what you need to write. Made of a woman, made under the law, right? Genesis 3:15. Right. Am I right? To redeem, to pay the price that they that were under the law, the old law, amen, right? 39 there. That might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. What the Spirit is? The book. Am I right? Anybody with a spirit, you need to write down there. John 14:26. 15:26. 16:13. All in John. Amen. I'm going to send the comforter. He's going to bring back remembrance, spirit of truth. Amen. Tie all the way down to Acts chapter 2. Am I right? And tie all the way down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, am I right? For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect and that which is in part shall be done away with, and then James 1:25, amen. See, you're going to tie all that in, and that's what he's talking about here. And he said, and because you are sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So when he says, go back to Hebrews right quick, Hebrews 11, 13, and I want you to see it. And we're going to wrap it up. Y'all back there? I'll wait. But you got to see it, Sister Joshua. Ain't that right? If you don't see it, you ain't going to understand it. And when you can't understand, you're going to be blind. And you're going to be subject to what anything anybody else say, because you don't have the understanding to prove or discern what's right and what's wrong. And that's when confusion enters your life. And God is not the author of confusion. When you see confusion in your life, that's a work of the devil. Show that a work of God. Because he has given us the perfect law of liberty to see and to understand. Now, if you don't understand and you don't see, you sit here and you hear me, but you don't understand what I'm saying, well, can't nobody be blamed but you. You sure can't blame God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Or if you're in too big a hurry to receive and you got somewhere to go, well, God bless you. Hello? Hello? Or if the seed can't penetrate, well, have closed your thinking, well, you need to go back and examine yourself and see what's blocking the seed. Because he says, these are died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That is, they saw the prophecy of the 17 books. Because it had been prophesied. The prophets prophesied of what going to happen in the 17 books. Amen. Everything that happened in the 17 books of the Old Testament came to reality under grace and truth. John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But in order to understand 17, I'm telling you, folks, if you understand the Pentateuch, you ain't going to understand the history. If you understand the history, you ain't going to understand the books of encouragement. Because all those hinge on the 17. Y'all with me? See, you can't understand exponents until you understand negative and positive. It took me 3 months to learn up, but about too late. That's all I'm going to say. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. Because the Bible is written in purpose. Before the foundation of the world, isn't that right? Ephesians 1:3. Before he even said in the beginning, God, the whole Bible was already prelated. The omnipotent, omniscient mind of God knew what man was going to do, so he made provisions. Amen. It just didn't happen. See, all these clowns talk about Flintstones and prehistoric, that's what they are. Because, see, that don't exist. We found some bones a billion years old. Where you got them from? How you know they're a billion years old? Who told you? Who are you going to believe what the Word of God said? Because the world don't go back that far. It just don't go back that far. See, either they're right or God telling the lie. It just don't exist. Y'all running around saying yabba-dabba-doo-doo. Talking about Flintstone, it just don't go back that far. Are y'all talking about, well, my great-great-great-great-granddaddy was a monkey? I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I don't care how much I may look like it, but I just don't believe that. Because, see, God said he created Adam and who? He didn't say baboon and gorilla. Am I right? Who are you going to believe? Because, see, it was written with a purpose. Read it. That's the reason I'm trying to put it on our hearts. And redundantly, whether you like it or not, you got to understand what I'm saying. Because if you ain't going to understand, you ain't going to see. And if you ain't going to see, I hate for you to wake up like that rich man did. Because you're not going to see his glory. You're not going to see his purpose. You're not going to see that home. You're not going to see that mansion that he said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you. See, he prepared a mansion for us because we're obedient to God's word. But to be obedient, we got to see it. Amen. Are you blind? You can't see it. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Keep you blind, not learning. Because see, he got you blind and not learning. When he got you saying what other people are saying and it can't be proven by the word of God. Don't believe me just because I said it. You believe it because you go back and study it for yourself. See, you sit here and say, Al said it, you crazy. And I ain't trying to talk about it, I'm just telling you just the way it is. You got to study for yourself. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
See, and until that light goes off, where you get an understanding, see, comes on, thank you. Brother, you're not going to understand. I got two or three points, but time done ran out on me. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? There'll be one here today that need to respond to the invitation. If you're here today, you want to be saved. If you're here today, you need to be added to the body of Christ. You come on in one way, John 14:6. You must hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what you hear? Jesus says in Mark 16:16, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You must repent of your sin, Luke 13:3. Are you going to perish? You must make that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 8, when that eunuch said, see here the water. What does hinder me from being baptized? He said, you must believe with all your heart. He said, I believe it. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. And then you must be buried with him, Colossians 2:12. Baptism is a burial, and the water a grave of baptism. And if you're here today, you want to be saved today, we'll baptize you today. If you're here today, you want to repent. You're just tired of sin. You want to straighten your life out. You don't try out that sinful way. And that ain't been so good. Try Jesus' way. Try Jesus' way. You just have tried the devil way for so long. It ain't been good. It just ain't been good. And you just say, I'm tired. I want a new life. I want a new beginning. And today will be a new beginning. If you here want to identify with this church to be saved, come by right now as we stand and we sing.